This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez. For generations, Indigenous people have been fighting colonization and climate change to protect their culture. Our Living Lands producer Daniel Spalding spoke to Stella Samaripa, a Nimiipuu language teacher, about her efforts to bring Dog Bang back to Nez Perce lands.
Could you share a little bit about your project and how you blended ancestral knowledge in your project to restore Kemu, or Indian Dog Bane, habitats?
So we live in Kamyai, Idaho, and that actually is derived from our language, which is Kamyakpa. And that is like the gathering site, or it loosely translates to that as being the gathering site of Indian Dog Bane, or Kemu. And I started to like really get encompassed by that and entranced because, you know, like here we are living in this world that our ancestors fought so hard to live in. Each and every plant around you, whether it be like the grass, tsikhtsikh, or lotus, right, being a flower, every single plant had a name. And it was that name was used for generations upon generations, time immemorial. And when we stop naming our plants and speaking to them, we start losing them. And that's exactly what happened here. And then I started talking to Sylvia Arquise with Northwest Indian College, and she was like, you can make this into a project, Stella. You can create a map all on your own. So she taught me GIS and how to actually pinpoint each place and create a map. And it was amazing to be able to understand what we as Nimiipuu or even as tribal people are capable of and how we can change our perspectives and we can use this technology for our benefit and for restoring our science.
Could you explain the cultural importance of Kemu within the Nimiipuu community? How does its restoration impact cultural practices?
I think learning about Kemu has really reawakened by knowledge, the power of gaining back our knowledge. You know, when we gain back what we lost, it feels right. It feels like we're, I guess, getting rid of a burden, you know, the burden of not knowing. We have this piece of a whole puzzle that we lost, and now we need to bring back and remake that piece so that we can have that whole outlook of being Nimiipuu.
As a Nez Perce language teacher, how do you see the connection between language revitalization and environmental restoration? Do these efforts complement each other in the work that you do?
I think they have a lot of connection. When we had our language and we were so fluent in that language, the plants, the lands, the animals, everything around us could hear us speak that language. And so when they were hearing us and they were listening to us, you know, they also had to have that connection with us and our language too. And you're starting to feel, again, that connection. And especially with like our language, you know, it's alive. And when we have so little of it, sure, it probably feels weak. Well, how can we strengthen that? And that's what we need to do, you know, like just everyday things.
In your research, how did traditional harvesting practices influence the restoration methods of Kemu?
We try to utilize every single piece of that plant. But what do we do with the things that we don't use from that plant? Well, traditionally speaking, we bring it back to the earth. And so when we're bringing back those pieces of the plant back into the soil, it's actually regaining its strength through the soil again, and it replenishes itself, so to speak. And then it starts to gain momentum in creating more populations. And that was what our ancestors knew. We treat it as a kinship, as being a relative for us. And how would you treat your child? How would you treat your grandchild? Or how would you treat your grandmother or your grandfather? Do they take care of us? So we need to take care of them.
Is there anything else that you would like to share about what Kemu teaches us about resilience, restoration, or just the future of Indigenous science?
I think there's a lot of resilience in our plants. Kemu was put on the noxious weeds list for, you know, decades, right? It was meant to be completely exterminated. And here it is, still finding its way back to us. And, you know, that resilience is the same way with us, right? We have been near genocide and we were supposed to be exterminated. And here we are still alive. We're still talking to each other, you know, and the connection is there. We just need to find that again.
Tune in next week for more stories about how climate change affects tribal communities. I'm Antonia Gonzalez for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.